The Lord says in his word, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Amen. Well, today I want to finish up my series upon gratitude, taking just a little bit different angle. And I thought about making the title of this message, Circumstances Should Not Determine My Attitude. But I thought I would make a declaration and entitle it this instead. Circumstances do not determine my attitude. Can you agree with me today? Circumstances do not determine my attitude. I believe that we can make a choice of what kind of attitude we have. Will I have an attitude of gratitude, of joy, of gratefulness, or will I have an attitude of complaining, ungrateful, or a bad attitude? I decided to look up bad attitude, and here's what I came up with. This is in alphabetical order. People with bad attitudes are described as, are you ready? Aggressive, arrogant, belligerent, blunt, callous, critical, cynical, dishonest, distant, envious, guarded, hostile, indifferent, intolerant, pessimistic, prejudiced, prideful, resentful, rude, sad, selfish, suspicious, unemotional, untrusting. Phew! Can you imagine bringing that into a marriage or a family or to an office space? How many have ever been guilty of having a bad attitude before? I'm going to raise my hand. I want to talk to you, though, that circumstances do not determine my attitude. I love the story about Jeb. Jeb was a 10-year-old boy who helped with the chores around his house. You have to get up and go help in the barn and with all of the farming chores. Every day, his mother would walk into his room and turn on the light switch at 5 a.m. Goes, open the curtain, and she would say, Jeb, it's going to be a great day. And he would wake up and do the chores. One morning, she flipped on the switch, opened the curtain, and said, Jeb, it's going to be a great day. He said, no, it's not. It's going to be a horrible day. She goes, is that how you really feel about it? He goes, yeah, it's a horrible day. How many at 5 o'clock kind of feel that same way? She said, well, if that's the way you feel about it, she closed the curtain, turned off the light, shut the door. He said, whoa. If I would have known this, I would have done this a long time ago. He went back to sleep, woke up, opened the door, smelt the breakfast aroma. He went out to the kitchen and thought, man, this is amazing. He says, Mom, can I have something to eat? She goes, oh, I'm sorry. We had breakfast an hour ago, but you were still asleep. I'm sorry, no breakfast for you. In fact, you said today is going to be a horrible day. So I'm going to make sure today is a horrible day. She sent him back to his room. He could not eat. He could not play all day. He would look outside and see some of his siblings and friends playing. Miserable day. The next morning, Mom opened the door, turned on the light. Jeb was sitting on his bed, all dressed, boots on, ready to go, coat on, arms stretched out. He says, it's going to be a great day. We have a choice to choose our attitude. Today I want us to look at a powerful story in the Bible that is an amazing example of choosing your attitude over your circumstances. This is found in Acts chapter 16. I'm going to read just a little bit, starting with verse number 16. It's about Paul and Silas, who were sharing the gospel in Philippi. And let's see what happens to them. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed God and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Someone say, "Praise the Lord." Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas began to complain and whine before the Lord. Is that what it says? Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will bless this word today. Bless those listening, whether here in person or online. I pray that you will just help us to have an attitude that reflects your glory, an attitude that will bring others to Jesus. Bless this time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Paul and Silas were doing something good. They were sharing the gospel of Jesus. And they delivered a slave girl from a demon. How many think that's worth praising God about? But I want you to know something. Not everything you do is going to be looked at by the world as a good thing. They should have said, "A life has been saved. A life has been set free." But these men profited off of this girl. She was using her demonic powers to tell the future and making them money. And it was about money. Church, we have to have money to survive. We have to have money to pay bills. But life cannot be about money. It's got to be about reflecting God's glory. And I could just see Paul and Silas. They allowed this to happen day after day. And they knew that if they were to do something, it would cause a stir. They cast this demon out. They were cast, dragged before the authorities, stripped and beaten with wooden rods, and then thrown in jail. It doesn't sound like a picnic to me. Publicly humiliated. And the jailer was ordered to not let them escape, so he locked them in stocks in the inner dungeon. I want you to just catch this picture. How many of you or how many of us would feel like singing in this moment? Praise you, Lord, for you are good. Oh, this feels good. All these stripes on my back, they feel great. Wow, I love being locked in chains. Isn't this great, Paul? Yes, Silas, it's awesome. This is fun. I don't think so. But something down deep within them knew how good God is. And you see, when we choose to have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of joy, an attitude of God's presence, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We know that God is with us. So I want to explore this today. I want to say this statement to you. It's not what happens to you that's important. It's what happens in you that's important. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not what happens to you. It's what happens in you. The first point, do not deny your circumstances. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God wanted his people to ignore the problems, pretend it does not exist. If you were to come down here for prayer today because you're sick, I will not say to you, don't say you're sick. There are some that say that. I want to tell you, if you're sick, you're sick. Now, I think There is something about being positive and not dwelling on our problems or looking at the problems. But I want to tell you, we've got to understand that God delivers in the circumstances or through the circumstances, but he doesn't tell us to deny the circumstances. There was a real giant named Goliath. David didn't say, there is no giant, there is no giant. I'm just imagining things. No. He fought the giant. Can I hear an amen? There were the walls of Jericho. The Red Sea was in front of them. The Egyptian army behind them. I can name problem after problem in the Bible. Lazarus is dead. Positive thinking on its own is good, but without Christ, you are trusting in positivity in yourself. Yourself is only so much. We need Jesus Christ. We have to be positive with the foundation of Christ in our life. Now, I know some Christians who could use a little positivity. We serve a mighty God. We serve a great big God. Put a smile on your face sometimes. Amen? The second thing I want you to realize, know that God is in control. Know that God is in control. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I want to tell you this. I may not understand it. I may not realize what is happening. I may not even like it. I may hate it. It may be painful, but I live in a sin-filled world. But I know that God is still in control. Even when sin causes hurt, pain, loss, and suffering, God is able to help me through it. In Paul and Silas' life, they went through extreme pain and suffering, shipwrecked, beaten, stoned. But Paul's attitude was still trusting in the Lord. They knew that God didn't cause their pain, but God was still in control. God doesn't cause your pain either. God doesn't cause your loss. God didn't cause your suffering, but God is still in control. This world is full of sin and hurt, disappointment and pain, but God is still in control. And my attitude will reflect God's glory and not my suffering. Which brings me to my next point. Troubles are only temporary. Fix your eyes on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small. Yeah, but Paul, you don't know what I'm going through. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Aren't you thankful that heaven is going to be forever with peace and joy and never having to say goodbye to your loved ones? Now, you may be glad that you said goodbye to your loved ones at Thanksgiving. And the house is back to peace and quiet. Amen. But in heaven, we'll never have to say goodbye. In heaven, we'll never have to suffer again. But our attitude should reflect Jesus. These issues we face are temporary. As big as they seem now, they are only temporary, small compared to eternity. Now, I want to just talk briefly for a moment about emotions. Emotions of happy and sad, those, I want you to know, those are okay to have. When Florida State beat the Gators, how many were happy? Let me just see your hands, okay? I mean, that is emotion, that is a happy emotion, that's great. And there are emotions that fluctuate with the day. If I get a flat tire, I'm sad. I've had a flat tire before in the midst of rain. But I was thankful for the police officer that stopped to help me. And I was late to church because it just happened. And I want you to know, emotions are okay for Christians to have. Happy. Jesus was happy. Jesus was sad. Jesus wept over the loss of his friend, Lazarus. And the emotions are not what I'm talking about, because I believe we need to have those, but we can't let the emotions get down into the soul of us and change who we are. The Bible says, beware of a root of bitterness that spreads poison. Beware of that getting into your spirit. Now back to Paul and Silas. They began to sing praise. Now watch this. Other prisoners were listening. The truth of the matter is we are put here on earth to give glory to God and bring others to Jesus. People are watching you. Suddenly there was an earthquake. Shook the whole prison. Chains came loose. Doors came loose. They could have all escaped. Remember the jailer? He was told not to let them escape. They knew that the penalty for prisoners escaping was death. So that's why he took a sword, was going to kill himself. He was going to avoid having someone else do it. Paul could have seen him do that, and he could have been like, yeah, he beat us. Just let him kill himself. He could have been vindictive, but no. Remember, he is there to bring people to Christ. He said, stop! We're all here. Somehow, Paul's words kept all the prisoners at bay. And the jailer came running to him and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. That's what attitude does when we reflect Christ. Their Christ-like attitude saved a man and his entire household. Which brings me to my last point. When people see your attitude, they will want what you have, if it's a good one. I'm going to share a very personal story with you today to conclude this message. I want to show you a picture of my family, this is how I grew up. Not the clouds. All right, we're getting it. Let's put a picture of that family on there first. That is my family growing up. I'm the little guy. I'm the baby of the family. There's seven of us. I love big families. I mean, I wouldn't be here if we didn't have a big family. And yes, my sisters were all dressed alike, and the brothers, who knows, we plaid pants, but that's our family. And we had a great family growing up. My mom and dad were pastors, and We would sing together. We would travel together. In fact, we would stay all in one van together. When we would go places, we had a little pop-up van, and we would, all nine of us would stay in this pop-up van. I remember going to Great America, Six Flags, Great America, and we stayed in the parking lot because that was cheaper than a hotel. And we just would pop that thing up. It was just awesome, awesome family. We loved the Lord. And I want to show you a picture, this next picture of me and my sister. This is, you probably can't see this really good, but this is a rare picture of my sister Liz, who was about 9 years older than me. And I think this is at Hershey Park in Pennsylvania. And here we are riding this ride. Now, my sister Liz, she was an amazing young lady. She was a teenager, 17 years of age. And Liz, she could play the piano, she could sing. In fact, she played the piano for the high school choir. And all the accompaniment was done by her. Let's show this next picture. This is my sister Liz in August. She was a bridesmaid, the maid of honor, at my other sister's wedding. Liz was an amazing young lady. A Sunday night in September, she stood up in front of her church with tears in her eyes. She shared how much she loved Jesus, how much she wanted to serve him. She said, "I didn't know if I wanted to move to this place where we are currently at, but God has helped me through it." And she talked about how much she loved the Lord. September 5th, 1979, I was 8 years old. She went to school. She went to her first period class in her band. She had band. Second period, she went up to her class, sat down at her desk, and dropped over, passed away. 17 years of age. The ambulance came. They tried to revive her. They tried to rush her to the hospital. All the while, I'm in class, not knowing a thing. As an 8-year-old kid, I remember standing in the lunch line. This was in a town so small, 1,000 people or less. So you heard everything. We had one school, kindergarten through senior. I remember standing in the line and not knowing a single thing. And my teacher came over to me and says, "I just want you to know your sister was taken to the hospital, but she'll be fine." I looked over at my younger sister who was in the other line. She was in elementary school with me, and I went like this. I had no clue. We were sent to a babysitter's house later and found out later that she had passed away. As an 8-year-old boy, and as our family, we were devastated. But my mom and dad were strong believers in the Lord. Somebody came up to them and said, "If you would have had more faith, she would have not have died." Don't ever say that. We had the funeral. It was one of the largest funerals there in the town. We had to have it at the local high school in the gymnasium. Devastation all around. I told you those emotions change. Those emotions fluctuate. My mom and dad, struggled, but they kept going. They kept praying. They kept seeking the Lord. Mom and dad kept preaching, kept spreading the love of Jesus. You see, they were a strong believer that circumstances do not determine their attitude. My mom, who was very close, obviously, to my sister Liz, she's the one that taught my sister to play the piano. 1 year later, after my sister Liz passed away, My mom walked into the high school band room and choir room and asked the director, "Do you need someone to play the piano for the choir?" See, when my sister had passed away, that left a vacancy. And so my mom turned what was a devastating and terrible event, and she began to play the piano for the high school choir. She played for all of their concerts and began to practice with the students. Students would then come down to our house and practice for solos. That she began to minister to them and pray for them. And there are several students today that are serving the Lord because my mom chose to reflect God's glory. Doesn't mean she wasn't sad. Well, doesn't mean she was devastated. I want to tell you something. My mom and dad, they've both gone on to be with the Lord now, but they turned that around. My mom wrote a song called "God Picked a Rose from My Garden." My dad sang that all over northern Wisconsin, in churches, in camps, in places. And there were several families who came up to my mom and dad and said, "Thank you, I've lost a child. Thank you so much for sharing that song." And God used them to minister to many other families in that situation. And I just wanted to share that with you today because there's an example, not just from the Bible, but from my own life. I watched them. It didn't make me bitter. As a boy growing up, I didn't hate God. I didn't hate ministry. It allowed me to see the good in what God wanted to do. And I want to challenge you today. No matter what you've been through, the Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You may have been through tragedy and loss and suffering and pain, but you have a firm foundation in Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you today to trust in Him and say, "God, touch me today." Will you stand with me? Thank you so much for listening to my story today and for being here today. I want to encourage you to walk with the attitude like Paul and Silas did. I'm going to praise Him no matter what. I'm going to give Him thanks no matter what. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank You so much. I thank You so much for the power of praise. I thank You so much for the power of thanksgiving. And Lord, I stand here today. I don't know everybody's situation, but God, You do. Lord, there may be some folks here today that are going through dark battles. They're struggling. Their life has not been easy. But God, I'm going to challenge today everyone listening to put on the garment of praise and to come to You and say, "God, I need You in this hour, and I'm going to praise You anyways. I'm not going to deny that things are bad, but I'm going to fix my eyes upon You, Jesus." If that's you today, or if you just need to connect with Jesus again, maybe to adjust the attitude that you've been struggling with lately, while the worship team comes and while they begin to pray, praise the Lord. I'm gonna encourage you to come and find a place around these altars. I believe in moving to the altars. I believe that sometimes we need to take a step to begin something in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls that God wants to do in our life. If that's you, when they begin to sing, I want you to come and find a place. And we're just going to spend a few moments seeking the Lord, praising Him. And God's going to help you through and minister to you in Jesus' name.